Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Joining us now to talk about the overall COVID situation, Dr. Noel Yeo, who is the Senior Vice President for Hospital Operations and the Singapore Operations Division at Parkway Pantai Hospitals here in Singapore. Dr. Yeo, welcome to Money FM.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, everyone.
It's great to have you with us today. And good numbers, good news these few days. What are the trends that you're seeing at Parkway?
Well, it's pretty much the same as what we're seeing locally. Very much in mirror that the number of cases has greatly come down. I think the local situation is very optimistic, very positive, and we'll be looking forward to more good news from the government.
Yeah, as we've seen from the very beginning, the government has been very focused, and there's been one message that's really been coming out consistently about wearing masks, about social distancing, good hygiene, contact tracing. How important has this all of government approach been, in your opinion, to getting us to where we are today?
Yeah, I think the government and especially our Ministry of Health has done fantastic, right, in the recent months to control the situation. It is a very effective strategy where we require masks, we require safe distancing, but I would also commend that it also takes cooperation by every resident of Singapore to do this, to make sure that all the measures are effective and well implemented. So I must say that it really takes a nation, political will, social capital to get these kind of results. And therefore, I'm very proud to be, Singaporean.
Sure. Just this weekend, we saw the Ministry of Health now kind of reaffirm what is necessary for masks. And a lot of people had been wearing bandanas, using gaiters, doing different things, handkerchiefs or whatever. And they have come back and said, nope, you have got to have a proper mask that's made to protect against either pollution or infection. Why do you feel that this was necessary to send this message out right now? Were too many people just trying to get away with using masks that weren't appropriate?
Okay, I think maybe let me start by a personal example myself, right? I've noticed that over the past few months, right, where I started using face masks, I used the surgical grade mask from the hospitals. Mm-hmm. I also used the reusable ones which the government has supplied. I myself had experienced, I would say, I have zero upper respiratory tract infections ever since I put on the mask.
Wow.
It's really that effective. For it to be effective, right, we have to use masks that are proven, that have been tested, and that's why I would support what the government is saying, that we have to use surgical grade masks, or we have to use the reusable ones that have been supplied. And we also have many local manufacturers, putting up masks for sale nowadays, right? I recall there was a recent competition about the design of masks.
Mm.
We have SG55 masks coming out everywhere. All these masks, right, are tested and very effective. And I think all of us should comply in order to, to improve the local situation better.
We've seen a lot of sort of fashion-oriented masks coming on the scene from, independent producers. Are these still effective? There's several layers of cloth, for example, but they're more along the lines of what, people want to be seen wearing versus strictly, a medical grade mask. Are you at all concerned that these masks might not be working the way they should?
No, in fact, myself, right, I also use some of these masks, right, with pretty cute designs. What they have is that the mask, right, on the side towards the mouth and the nose, they have a slot, an additional slot, mm-hmm. where we can fit in a filter that PM2.5. You can buy all these additional filters to add into your cloth mask. And with that, the mask functions almost the same and is as effective as a hospital-grade surgical mask.
Mm, important as we go forward. Speaking with Dr. Noel Yeo, the Senior Vice President at Parkway Pantai Hospitals, and we can't discuss COVID-19 in Singapore without talking about our foreign workers and the infection in the dormitories. It seems largely under control. What are you seeing, after this kind of tragic spread through many dormitories? Where are we now with our foreign worker population from what you're seeing?
What I've noticed, having been on the ground doing swabbing, I myself have also gone to the dormitories, right, is that I would say overall, while it was an area of concern for Singapore and those in healthcare, but we have gotten it under control within such a short amount of time. And I really would pay tribute to all the healthcare workers out there who has been part of this exercise, right, to help to contain, to isolate and to treat the foreign workers in Singapore. And the statistics do show we have very, very, very low fatalities. The number of foreign workers who are isolated has come down, you know, from what we saw, tens of thousands, right, to just less than 2,000 so far, if I'm not wrong.
Mm.
Yeah, so it is an optimistic situation, and it is good job done by our government, by our healthcare workers, and by every citizen.
Yeah, our active cases are around 1,200, a little over 1,200, so that's a pretty good sign. And we have not had an ICU patient for COVID-19 since early August, I think the 4th of August. Are you surprised at all that you know, we haven't really been hit very hard when you think about it? Of course, you know, we've had, tragically, we've had 27 fatalities. Nearly all of them have been, you know, older residents in their 80s, 90s or so. Are you surprised that we haven't had more ICU patients?
I would say that I would be surprised, right, if I took in the global situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have seen hundreds of thousands of deaths in developed countries like the US, Europe also. And when we compare ourselves in terms of healthcare level, we often have the impression that, you know, these advanced economies would be on par with us, right? And that should reflect in you know, in the number of fatalities. But I think that we have been, you know, it is truly a reflection of our healthcare level, our confidence in treating them. And one more point that I also want to note is that we also have very, very low transmission among healthcare workers. So that shows that healthcare workers here, we take our use of masks and our PPE very seriously, and it has been effective for all of us. That's why we're all well protected, and we are able to deliver healthcare services to the people who have been affected. So you see, right, we must always protect the core of healthcare in order for us to then look after the patients who are infected.
Let's talk a little bit about what you've done at Parkway. You know, you have a number of hospitals, not only here, but in Malaysia, India, China, Brunei, you know, some 55,000 staff. Across your network, have you noticed the same kind of ability to serve COVID-infected people in a way that, like you say, the healthcare workers are not getting ill at a high rate and that sort of thing? What does it look like across some very disparate countries in terms of what the overall COVID picture has been?
Yes, for us, in you know, in my organization, we do have the benefit of sharing practices, especially best practices across, you know, our different countries and division. And I think that it has served us well because we were able to pick up lessons from our own divisions in other countries, right, to learn from some of the, you know, the things that you know, other countries didn't do quite well. And at the same time, we also picked up good practices from these countries and we implemented it within our division.
Mm.
So to do that, right, we have a COVID-19 command center that is set up globally. We have our group chief operating officer who's in charge of that. And that command center is then, in a way, replicated across our division. So every country in our company, right, every country division would have its own COVID-19 command center. And with this command center, mainly, right, what it does, right, is to coordinate the responses of resources in our each of our divisions.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helps us to communicate information. I would stress that information is important during this time. As we saw over the past few months, right, things keep changing, new information keep coming. We have so much social media information flowing back and forth. Some are real, some are fake, nobody knows, right?
So
therefore, having a command center is very, very important for our organization. And it is nothing new. We see that also being implemented in many organizations in Singapore. The best example would be our joint task force that is led by our ministers, the Ministry of Health. That is one of the best examples to show how good coordination, communication can be can lead to good results, and that is reflected in our numbers.
Speaking with Dr. Noel Yeo, the Senior Vice President at Parkway Pantai, and you are also the chairman for the Singapore Operations Division for your COVID Command Center for Parkway. As you are looking around your network here and then you're, you know, feeding information to the other command and control centers in your Parkway network, what are the biggest, or I would say the most important lessons that you have learned about how to deal with a pandemic like this, so that going forward when the next one comes, because we all know it's a matter of when and not if we have another pandemic, what lessons will you take forward and try to make sure you replicate?
Okay. My own reflections are very much practical, and it is also can be seen in the national level as well as at individual hospital levels. I will start first by saying that screening is very important. When I talk about screening, right, I meant visitor registration, screening of visitors into our hospital. At a national level, we do that at our borders checkpoint, where we were screening inbound travelers coming into Singapore, screening their temperatures, requiring them to take health declaration, travel declaration. So that is the first part, where you must be able to screen out people who are at risk and, you know, have them isolated as quick as possible. That falls in line with our national strategy, which is to first detect and then to trace close contacts and then finally to treat them. So having screening is the very first line of defense.
Did we learn that from SARS as well in 2003? Was that one of the takeaways that has crossed over?
Yes, it definitely was. Though I must confess that during that time at SARS, right, I was still a final year medical student. But it shows that the lessons, right, from years back, right, can also be applied in future outbreaks. And I'm pretty much certain that whatever we have learned during this COVID outbreak will be applied in future. 10, 20 years down the road, it'll still be very relevant.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you were going to mention another takeaway from this particular time.
Yes, thanks. I was about to say that the second point is right on testing capability. So this round, COVID is a bit different from SARS, right, where it spreads really fast. You see big numbers of people getting infected. And in order for us to find out who is infected, we must have testing capabilities. Hmm. And that's why for Parkway Singapore, what we did very early on, since 3rd of March, right, we were the first private lab to be approved by MOH to perform testing, PCR testing. Hmm. So right now, to date, we have done more than 160,000 individual tests.
Just at Parkway?
Yes,
wow.
Just one lab alone.
In Singapore? Just in Singapore or across your network?
No, just in Singapore.
Wow. Alone. And is it your own test or is it a test that you got from somewhere else?
So the test kits that we use, right, are from different sources, but they're all approved for use by Ministry of Health.
Right.
When we first started in March, right, we were very fortunate to have the support of A-Star. We have a local test kit called the Fortitude Test Kit. Mm-hmm. And we were using that at the beginning. We were doing about 300 tests daily. But right now, after the few months, we managed to get in more resources and we're able to do about 5,000 tests daily.
Wow.
So that is why we're able to, to date perform more than 160,000 PCR tests.
Unbelievable. Speaking with Dr. Noel Yeo, the Senior Vice President at Parkway Pantai, and this question is a bit broader one. You know, other countries around from Europe and the Americas and even other of our neighbors here in Southeast Asia have seemed to be quite unprepared or at least not as focused in their response. Why do you think that they haven't taken time to observe and learn from what Asian nations like Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, Japan, China, and others have done to stop or to mitigate the COVID-19 spread? I mean, all of the things that we've done here and for example, Taiwan that have been done, these are proven effective methods to stop or slow down COVID-19 transmission. And yet so many other countries have not done these things and they've fought against doing these things. When you look at other countries, do you just sort of shake your head and wonder why?
I'm more a positive and optimistic person by nature. So I actually look at our own country internally and I nod my head at the the positive things that we have done.
Absolutely.
I tend to see that the glass is half full instead of half empty.
Mm.
My comment on the other countries, right, having such situations right now would I think it's really a reflection of maybe firstly the preparedness of their response to outbreaks like this. We have to roll back to SARS time. And we realized that SARS, right, was an infection that occurred primarily in Asia countries at that time. Actually, it was more in Central Asia down to Southeast Asia. So these countries, right, had gone through the hard times of SARS, and therefore we are much more prepared. I mean, nationally, the government has done excellent. We had the National Center for Infectious Diseases that was built in response to, you know, future outbreaks after having gone through SARS. So that's why we were able to deal with the surge in cases. We were able to manage patients who require critical care services during the peak period. This is something that other countries, especially in the Western, Western part of the world, they might not have had the experience of doing so. So I believe, right, COVID-19 would have taught them the experience that was necessary, and I think they would be, working towards that. So that's perhaps one area that, that leads to why they are not so prepared, and then also the experience of having gone through hard times, right, like SARS for us, right, has resulted in our own people, that means people who are non-healthcare, to be far more vigilant, to be far more compliant when such things happen. So that's why when we have national measures like the use of face masks, safe distancing, etc., people in Singapore comply, right? That part is definitely shows the unity that we have as a country. It shows the social capital that we have built over the years, and that leads into good outcomes that we are achieving. And likewise, right, in other Asian countries, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, China, all these countries have cultures, right, that of many, many years, right, thousands of years in the case of China. Mm-hmm. So these people, as a nation, they have built a culture, a national culture, where cohesion is important, working together is important, and that is that is an advantage of Asian countries right now. So that is reflected. So few things that we can see that is playing out.
It certainly has worked well in Singapore, and the consistency of messaging, we see the lack of consistency, for example, about masks in the U.S. and what that has led to. Conversely, the consistency of messaging about masks here in Singapore has definitely, I think, certainly helped to stem the spread in many ways. When you think, you mentioned a few moments ago about some of the lessons that you've learned for Parkway, but some of the longer term changes that you think might be adapted by the Singapore healthcare system because of this experience. We think about digitalization, AI, the tracing type apps and things. What do you think will be some of the long term benefits or innovation that we'll see in Singapore's healthcare system as a result of this pandemic experience?
Yes. So I think what you've mentioned in these healthcare apps, right, registration, all that, I think these will all stay and become part and parcel of our healthcare system. So we will have IT technology being utilized better. In the case of some of our hospitals, we have also started having pre-visit registration. Before the visitor come in, we require the visitors to start filling up our online registration form so that the queues at the entrances of the hospital won't be too long. Mm-hmm. So that's one. I think we'll also see the use of technology to help us manage queue times or appointment better. Where it will no longer be just phone calls. It might be a self-booking system in the near future. In fact, many places have already started implementing. So I think what is also interesting to note is the acceptance, right, of teleconsult, telemedicine, e-pharmacy services that in the past, right, we thought wouldn't be so relevant in Singapore. Because Singapore is a small country, we thought that having so many hospitals and thousands of clinics distributed in Singapore, there will be no space at all for services like this, right? A telemedicine to find footing. But right now, right, we are seeing that it is happening. And that is something that has been accelerated by COVID, because COVID has made it important that contactless healthcare services is relevant. And that's why I think all these IT innovations will start to come in.
Yeah. Has Parkway developed its online sort of telemedicine business over this time? I know that there are other providers that are doing it more kind of one-offs, but are you doing it on a network level?
What we have done is that in Singapore, we have started to find local partners to work with. I mean, there are several teleconsult providers that we have established links with. I think why we chose to work on the partnership model, right, is because Parkway Singapore here, we are primarily, you know, into healthcare provision at the facility level. Yeah. That's what we do best. Mm. So we feel that looking for partners who are, you know, first in class in healthcare technology, in teleconsult platforms, right, would be ideal for us so that we can tap on each other's strengths. So yes, we have local partners to help us do so. Internally, right, we also have developed an app called the DigiHealth app. That is already out on iOS and Android devices. Hmm. So patients do download these, and with this platform, they have access to many features like the directory of our clinics and hospitals, the doctor's directory as well. Mm-hmm. They can also view their healthcare results like radiology reports and their lab test results using this app directly on their mobile devices.
Oh, that's great. That's going to save a lot of time and effort having to come in for appointments and things, right?
That's right. We also have, we will be putting in appointment booking systems shortly. And I think we are also going to be implementing the use of AI systems like chatbots on the app in order to help people, you know, maneuver the our app better.
Well, I think any time that a hospital especially can maximize the efficiency around having to move people around for appointments and things like that, that is a great benefit to, I think, both sides, right? The hospital side and the patient side.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
You know, one last question for you. We've seen now in the past couple of weeks the Singapore government announcing some corridors that it's hoping to open, Brunei and New Zealand and possibly one with Indonesia. As a healthcare professional, what are you concerned about and the way this needs to be handled to make sure that it is safe and that we aren't going to be bringing in more infection into Singapore or transmitting it out to other countries? What should we be looking for there?
I think the first comment would be Singapore as a country, right, cannot keep itself closed for too long. Mm-hmm. I think we know that there, apart from just the pure economic reasons, right, it is also not ideal, right, for the overall social health, mental health of people. I think people need to travel. People need to, you know, get on with their daily routines, right, in order for them to not feel what we call cabin fever and all that.
Yeah.
So I think mental health, social health is very important. Having to open up our borders again, given that we used to be a hub in transport, a hub in communications and finances, right? That's important for us. So that's the first comment. Now, coming to your question about what are my concerns, right, is probably the same as what many people and also what our government is concerned about. And that is, right, if we do open up our borders, will we get the same situation like the other countries who have done the same?
Yeah.
That is something that's always on our mind. So therefore, right, what we must have in place, right, as I earlier on mentioned, is that we must have vigilant screening. Mm-hmm. In fact, the screening doesn't now take place at just our checkpoints. The screening now takes place, right, in the countries of travelers before they come into Singapore. And that's reciprocal. So likewise, Singapore would also have to ensure that people who are going outbound, these people should be tested in Singapore before we permit them to travel out. So having such reciprocal arrangements with selected countries who share the same philosophy, who have achieved very similar results as us and are equally competent in managing outbreaks should second wave, third wave arrive, I think we can have such understanding with these countries and establish corridors.
Will an antibodies test, an effective, fast antibody test, be important for that? Because, of course, people can be asymptomatic with the swab test, right?
Yes, you're right. I think there is maybe I should take this chance to also distinguish the use of PCR tests versus the use of serology tests.
Mm.
So when it comes to detecting people who, you know, who have viral loads, PCR test is still the gold standard because it has a mechanism of amplification. It takes small amounts of viral RNA and replicates it to a quantity that can be detected.
Sorry, so, the PCA is what is PCR that stand for? PCR, what does that stand for?
That stands for polymerase chain reaction test.
So that's the antibody. The antibody test.
No, that tests the viral RNA directly.
Got it. Okay.
It tests the virus. Whereas, right, antibody test, right, is as you said, we test the antibodies, which are the fighting mechanisms that is produced by the human body. Mm-hmm. And that takes time, right? It takes time for the body to react to the virus and produce antibodies. So there is a lag time if we solely just test people using antibodies.
Mm.
Right? We must have a combination, but I would say the baseline gold standard now is still the use of PCR tests to detect. Antibodies is good, but only in a situation where the person has been infected for a while and has started to produce antibodies.
Interesting. Based on where we are right now, of course, we don't know what we don't know, but when would you expect Singapore to really, really be nearly COVID-free? You know, our 1,200 cases would be down to almost nothing, and our new cases would be down to almost nothing. At the rate we're going, assuming we don't get an influx from somewhere else, when do you think we would you know, be done with this?
Well, that is the million-dollar question.
I'm asking you to look into your crystal ball.
I think it is really difficult to comment on that because, right, there's still so much that we do not know about this virus. I think earlier on people were saying that you would develop immunity against the virus if you have it once, but now we start to hear from countries like Hong Kong and that it may not be the case, that reinfection might be possible because the virus mutates very fast. Nobody knows, you see. So if given that sort of uncertainty, it is difficult for us to pinpoint exactly when and how quickly we can reach zero cases or minimal cases. But I do comment that right now, given the trend that we are seeing in Singapore, it is something that's not so far away. But earlier on, we did talk about the fact that once Singapore opened its borders for inbound travelers, that is the second test that we will have to endure. Mm. There might be some cases coming in, but that is to be expected, and we should face it as it is and have confidence in dealing with it because of the track record that we have achieved over the last few months.
So much amazing information. Thank you so much, Dr. Noel Yeo, the Senior Vice President for Hospital Operations at Parkway Pantai, Singapore. Really appreciate your time and all of this great information.
No, thanks for the opportunity, Glenn. I'm very happy to be here to share. And my last statement would really to say that we are very grateful. I myself is personally grateful to everyone in Singapore for working together, for showing that our nation can always get past such crises together.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.